Well, good morning. It's good to hear all the conversations going on. I just want to welcome you and welcome any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us and those watching via the live stream. I just want to welcome you as well. I greet you in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. As we enter into a time of praising and worshiping God this morning, just thank Him for all that He has done. Just thank Him for everything that He does for us every day. Praise God this morning. And just hand Him all that baggage that we've been carrying for the week, or maybe stuff that's ahead of us this week that we are carrying. Just turn that over to Him. Let Him carry it. Let Him remove it from your shoulders and let God take care of it. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So we're going to just take a minute this morning, and we're going to close our eyes, and we're going to hand all our burdens over to God, things that are bothering us, things that have us worked up, things that we're facing. So we're just going to turn that over to God. We're going to take a minute, and then I will close in prayer, and we will move into worship. So will you join me in just turning all those burdens and worries over to the Lord this morning? Heavenly Father, we turn over to you any burdens and worries that we are carrying. We place our faith in you, that you will be with us, helping us each day. We give over anything that is holding us back from doing your will. We are here this morning to praise your holy name. Just fill this place with a flood of your Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts and souls this morning, in Jesus' name.
Oh, about all those things that you just held up in your basket to him. And in our time of need, he's there for us. Our offering this morning is for Easter Mennonite Relief Fund, and just goes to help other people in crisis as well. We also have the MyCoins account for the children, so I just invite you to participate in that. I just ask you to stand as we sing Jesus' name.
History of the cross.
Let us pray. Father, we ask a blessing over this money here. Just help the EMM with, give them the resources they need to help all those around them. We just pray that this will help more and more people, as there is so much trouble in the world today. Just bless this. And we just ask that you open our hearts this morning, that we can hear any words that you are sharing with us through Tony, and bless him this morning as he shares the word. Give us all just a great day. Help us through the day. Guide, direct us. Show us your way, Father. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just wanted to say it's good to be back in Pennsylvania again, here at Bevisville. It's been almost a month since we were here. And just when we were in Alaska, like one of the guys I met up there is plays piano at a local pizza place, and he said that there's many people that come there for Sunday lunch. No, on Sunday afternoons he plays for 3 hours. And he said a lot of times there's someone there that they are separated from their spouse, and it's their day to have their son or daughter, and they come there for pizza, and just like he'll be playing a song, Amazing Grace or whatever, and that he'll see them eating pizza just crying there at the table. And I just wanted to bring that into today's worship as a way that truth penetrates and moves our hearts. And we just want to be aware of the love that God has for us. And just was a blessed to hear how this guy used his talent. He's 80 years old. He uses his talent to just bring that into the common place where people are. Not a religious service or anything, but just gives them opportunity to soak in that truth while they're spending that time with their child.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. Amazing love.
country. And we just soak in the warmth of you caring for our needs, for you healing those hurts, for you putting together those dreams again that we had that were crushed, shattered. And we just want to be your people and leave an impact in the world that we live in for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, it's time for our children's message. I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Well, good morning, guys. How are you doing this morning? Good, quiet, no energy. Well, I'll take care of that. I'll give your kids some snacks so they'll get some more energy here in a little bit. So, what distracts you guys from doing what you're supposed to be doing? Maybe you have to do chores or your parents want you to pick your toys up. What distracts you from doing the things you want to do that you're supposed to be doing? Here's one thing that distracts me sometimes. I like to look stuff up on my phone and watch videos, and that's kind of a distraction for me. My wife's laughing because, yeah, that's something I try to work on. So what distracts you guys? How many of you like swimming? Does that distract you from doing things you're supposed to be doing? Maybe riding a bike. Maybe going on a hike. There's all kinds of things that distract us from doing what we're supposed to be doing, right? Here's a slide of some things that distract us from doing what we're supposed to be doing. There's electronics and sports and, yeah, look at that thing. Yeah, or that one. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a dirt bike. Anybody like dirt bikes? Yeah, see, right there. See, I put that one in there because I knew that. And who doesn't like some of that in your pocket? Yeah. Or for the young lady, there's some bunch of jewelry. See, there's lots of things that are good. They're not bad, but they can distract us from what is really good. So listen to what... Actually, I'm skipping ahead. The thing we have to do is remember to put God first. God first, family second, church third, and then everything else. That's kind of my list of how I try to do things. Maybe yours would be a little different, the bottom two. But those are kind of the list of the way I try to do things. Listen to what Matthew 7, 13, and 14 say. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the road is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, few find it. What these verses are telling us is that there are a lot of things that try to get our focus. Which is easier? This broad, wide road that's nice and smooth, or this small, rough trail that's going that way? Well, this is easier, but is it better? Is it better for us to follow this one? No, it's better for us to go that way. That's what these Bible verses are telling us. We need to focus on Jesus, and we have to continue to put Jesus first every day. And it may be tough to walk down that little path, but when we do, Jesus will walk with us, and he will carry us along the way. So remember, we have to put Jesus number one in our lives, in everything that we do. So I'd like to pray for you guys, and then you can have a snack. There's a couple different varieties in there. You can have two. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'd just like to thank you for these children and the energy and joy that they bring. Just pour a blessing upon them. I pray that they will put you first in their lives. Lead them on the narrow path. Show them who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can have a snack. There's a couple different varieties in there. You can dig around and find something in there. Well, good morning. I would like to thank you for your prayers on my behalf this week. As halfway through the week, I kind of started my sermon over again. I tossed out the outline and started a new one. I took chunks from this one and put it in that one, but the outline is different and the direction is a little bit different. So thank you for your prayers because I believe God was giving me the message that we're supposed to hear this morning. Teresa and I, along with our family, would like to thank you as a congregation for your overwhelming generosity that you have showed us. Thank you for your meals and your gifts and definitely your prayers that you have poured out on our family as Cullen was sick in Colorado. We could see God's hand working in the situation. We could see him working in every little detail that happened. Cullen's doing well. He's looking forward to football starting, but we're still wondering if there's any lasting effects, that he might be a little winded or something like that. But I'd just like to thank you guys for your prayers, because God answered them and has healed his body. I'd like to thank Dwayne for bringing the message a couple weeks ago that I was supposed to bring. He lifted that burden off my shoulder, and just thank you, Dwayne. So we're continuing our series, Love is the Win, and we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13:6 this morning. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. That's our overriding theme this morning. These verses are kind of straightforward, yet we're going to dig deeper and we're going to look and see how they apply to our lives and situations that we face. So we're going to start with God's truth. We need to know what God's truth is before we can understand what we're supposed to rejoice in. So I'm going to read 1 John 1, excuse me, 1 John 1, 5 to 10. And you can mark this place, because I'll be coming back to this verse a few times, and I won't have a slide. Well, I might have a slide for each one, but you can mark that place. 1 John 1, 5 to 10. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. We can learn a lot about God from these verses. So what can we learn? He is light. There is no darkness in him. God has no sin, no evil, no darkness of any kind in or near him. God is perfect and pure. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That tells us that God is the master architect of everything, down to the smallest atom. 1 John 4:8, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That tells us that God is love. And if God is love, wait a minute, then how can he destroy people and nations? Well, I guess we got to look into that a little more. See, God sets a standard for us. When we do not follow God's will for ourselves, we bring judgment on ourselves. See, God is holy, like it says in 1 Peter 1, verse 16, because it is written, you shall be holy for I am holy. So God is perfect and holy, yet he loves us so much that he sent prophet after prophet to the Israelites to get them to repent and turn back to him. His love is so great that he sent Jesus to this earth to teach us and save us from sin by dying on the cross as atonement for us, for each and every one of us. So in God's perfect, holy, sinless love, he is going to bring judgment. And he's going to be impartial. It says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And in the end, we will be judged. We can't escape it. It's inevitable. We're going to face judgment. God judged the nation of Israel, his own chosen people, and he exiled them to Babylon because they were following other gods and not living how they should have been. God also judged Sodom and Gomorrah for every evil thing that they were practicing. Yet, God brought Israel back from exile 70 years later. But Sodom and Gomorrah were cataclysmically wiped out when burning sulfur was rained down on them. Genesis 19:24 and 25, then out of the sky the Lord rained burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord. He demolished these cities, the entire plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities and whatever grew on the ground. Seems harsh, right? See, God had passed judgment on them, but first he went and he investigated the cries that had come up to him in heaven. He investigated to see if those cries were true. And that's in Genesis 18, and I invite you to dig into that more yourselves. God doesn't judge without first investigating. And these are just a few of God's truths. The truths of who he is, what he is like, and we can find more of them in his word. This book is filled with truth, God's truth. And one of God's truths that affects all of us is that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that we need a Savior to redeem us from our sins. God sends people. He sends messages. He sends warnings about what is going to happen to us if we continue to turn away from him and take joy in unrighteousness and live in sin. See, this is out of love for each and every one of us. God is not there being vengeful and spiteful and angry. He is perfect and pure and judging us out of a perfect, holy love. And it's so hard to understand how holy God is and to put a measure to that. We can't understand it. And he shows his love so much that he sent Jesus to die for each one of us. Our second point this morning is sin. Sin separates us from God. Sin began when Satan, saying in his heart that he will ascend to the heavens and be like God. Pride rose up in him, and this is birth of sin. Sin was born in that moment. Sin on the earth happened to us when Adam and Eve were deceived in the garden by the serpent. Man knew good and evil from that point forward. Sin or unrighteousness is anything that goes against God's laws or rules and what he says is right. And that's in his book of truth right here. We have to dig in to find out what is true and what is right. But sin is not limited to physical acts. Our thoughts, our motives can be sin, even if they're never spoken, if we just hold them in our mind and our heart. Like rotten fruit, it decays our heart on the inside. Do you want to take a bite of that? No. That wouldn't be so good, would it? We're talking about sin, and that moves us into the next point of living for the world. Our Bible verse says, are we taking joy in sin and unrighteousness in the world, or are we taking joy in truth, God's truth? The world says that we need to be tolerant of everyone's idea, lifestyle, and opinion. Do whatever feels good to you. If anyone says anything to you, they're a bigot and they're hate-filled. The louder I yell, the better my point of view is. These are all things the world is saying. Here's some more. Truth is what you make it to be. And people are given a free pass if you have money and power, right? You can say whatever you want and do whatever you want. If you have enough money and power, the law won't be able to touch you. Greed is around every corner. Get what you're entitled to, no matter what it takes to get it. I'm going to get my piece of the pie because I deserve it. I deserve it. Lies don't hurt anybody. Doesn't matter. Truth doesn't matter. I want to be in control, making others do work for me because I deserve the easy life. I'm going to look at Luke 12, 13 to 20. Talks a little bit about the easy life and what can happen. Luke 12, 13 to 20. And this is Jesus speaking with some other people. Someone from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Right there, that starts out telling us that someone was going to receive an inheritance and a family member wasn't going to, and they wanted a piece of the pie. And they wanted Jesus to say, give it to him. "Friend," he said, this is Jesus speaking, "who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" Then he told them, "Watch out, be on guard against all greed, because one's life is not in the abundance of his possessions." Then he told them a parable. "A rich man's land was very productive, and he thought to himself, 'What should I do, since I don't have anywhere to store my crops?' 'I will do this,' he said, 'I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones and store my grain and my goods there. Then I will say to myself, you have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?'" That guy built bigger barns because he had an abundance. And he was going to enjoy life and take it easy. We hear that all the time in the world, right? Get as much money as you can, then you can retire early and just enjoy life. Here's some other things that the world believes. Once this life is over, you die and nothing happens. Or maybe you're reincarnated. We don't know. Party. Live it up. Have as many partners as you want. If it doesn't work out, just move to the next one. It's not worth the hassle to fix it. Who needs God? You're your own God. You're in charge of your own destiny. These and many more things are swirling around our world like a tornado, trying to swallow us up and wipe us out. So how should we be living? We should be living for God. See, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are changed on the inside. The Holy Spirit comes and takes residence in our heart. From that moment, we are carrying a part of God in us, and that part is as holy as God Himself. Maybe that's something I don't think about too often. I have the Holy Spirit in me, sure, but that Holy Spirit is just as holy as God is. Am I living for God? So I'm going to read John 1, 6 to 10 again. If we say we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. If we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. If we walk in the light, if we walk in the light like God, who is in the light, has no darkness in Him, then we will be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And this is a continual process. This is a journey. We have to confess our sins and we will be forgiven. We need to acknowledge that we are people who are broken and we fail to live up to God's standards. We are human and we sin and we fall short of the glory of God. But this is not a license to sin, because we're supposed to strive each day to walk as Jesus did. We are called to love our neighbor as ourselves. Mark 12, 29 to 31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these. This can be a very difficult command to follow. And yes, it is a command. It's not a suggestion. We are to live a life that points other people to Jesus. And this is where it gets difficult. We are to go tell people about Jesus. We're supposed to walk alongside of them. And we're also supposed to point out sin that is in someone else's lives. Now we go back to that Bible verse where you have pointing out a speck in your brother's eye, where you have a log in your own. We have to be careful when we're pointing out sin of someone else. Going back to that narrow gate from our children's message, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. Narrow is the gate that leads to life, a life of peace, a life of fulfillment, a life of abundance, and a life of generosity. Now we can have all these things even when we don't have money, and when we're persecuted and these storms of life are just raging around us. We can know in our innermost being that we belong to God through faith in Jesus, and that He is there carrying us through whatever we face. The road is wide and leads to destruction, and it is carrying a lot of people. So what are we supposed to do when we see people living a life apart from God, traveling down the broad road that leads to destruction? Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Then Jesus said come near, Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." We are called to go and make disciples of people, teaching them what God has commanded them. We are, when we're faced with people who are living totally apart from God, how do we speak into their lives in love? How do we show them and tell them that they're headed for destruction? That's an eternity separated from God. We need to build relationships with people or groups that need Jesus. There's a right way and a wrong way to do this. I never said it's going to be easy. So how do we stand up and say you are wrong, yet show the love of Jesus? So we as Christ followers, we face this in every part of our lives. So how many of you remember the Westboro Baptist Church? Yeah, there's some hands. Do you remember what they did in the late 90s, early 2000s? They did a lot of protesting. They protested military funerals, different organizations and events associated with homosexuality. They did it brashly and they did it extremely. It was bad because they did not show the love of Christ. They were trying to speak against something that goes against God, but whew, they did it in the wrong way. So how do we find that balance? Because it can be easier to just be quiet and say nothing, right? But we have to be careful that when we're silent and do not speak up against something that God says is sin, even though we're against it, silence can be taken as approval. Oh, they're not speaking up against it. They must approve it, right? So we have to be very careful. When we speak, we need to point people to God's word. God's word says this. God's word says that. It's not Tony says this or Tony believes that. We have to be able to go to Scripture and point it out and said, this is what God says. This is the standard that God sets. And we need to be open to the Holy Spirit's leading in what to say and how to say it. In everything that we do, we need to walk in the light as God is in the light. If we don't, then we are deceiving ourselves, just like it says in verses 6, 8, and 10 of 1 John 1. If we say we have fellowship with Him and yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and not practicing the truth. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke 11:23. I decided not to include the whole passage there. And I didn't change my slide. So I'm just going to read Luke 11, verse 23. Anyone who is not with me is against me. Anyone who does not gather with me scatters. And this is Jesus talking after he had healed a man who was mute. And people were saying, he did this by the power of the devil. That's a powerful statement. If we do not stand for Jesus, we are standing with the enemy. I mean, there's many times where I failed to say something or do something that it's like, I really have to think about it. If I don't do this, I'm standing with the enemy. so are we loving the truth that God has given us. See, when we live it out, everything we do and speak, that shows the truth, it shows that the truth is in us. It's in our hearts. Or are we loving unrighteousness and living without God's truth in us? So in conclusion, which is it? Truth or sin? Everything we say and how we say it, along with our silence, shows what we approve of and what we have in our hearts, whether we have the truth of God in us or the world. That narrow path that we walk, it may be steep. There is going to be trouble along the way. But if we keep on this path, God is faithful to carry us through. God's word is a light to our path. His truth will light our path so we can walk on that rugged, steep path. And when darkness presses in, and it will press in, we can see to keep moving towards God step by step. The world and the wide path, it leads to eternal destruction that may seem inviting and easier to travel. In the end, it's only going to bring heartache, emptiness, and destruction. Love the truth, God's truth. Stand on that truth. Stand against unrighteousness. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy that you shower on us. Thank you for giving us your path to follow and walking alongside of us as we follow that path. Speak to us so we will know when we should speak, how we should speak, and when not to be silent, and when to be silent. Each day, help us to love your truth and stand against unrighteousness. Watch over us this coming week. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen. I'd invite the worship team forward to lead us in a closing song. Will you stand for a parting benediction? Walk in the light as he is in the light. Walk in fellowship with one another, being cleansed by the blood of Jesus. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed. Have a great week.